Prime Minister lands in Tel Aviv today, his first trip to the Middle East. Will he join the United States' push for a peace deal? We'll talk to Minister Chris Alexander. Plus, controversial rocker. Neil Young versus Alberta's oil sands.
It is like a war zone, a disaster area from war. What's happened up there? It's gone.
The industry came out swinging against the iconic singer.
In the case of Mr. Young's opinions on the oil sands, I would suggest that he has a democratic right to be wrong.
Are they worried his tour will damage Alberta's reputation? Minister of Natural Resources Joe Oliver joins us. And Green Party leader Elizabeth May weighs in. Immigration Minister Chris Alexander was in Israel last week to pay tribute to the late Ariel Sharon. But he's back now and joins me from Toronto to look ahead to the Prime Minister's visit there this week. Mr. Alexander, thanks for joining us. And let me ask you, first off, what's Canada's position on Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's decision to expand settlements on Palestinian lands?
Well, thanks, Bob. As we've said in the past, you've heard it from the Prime Minister, you've heard it from Foreign Minister John Baird, unilateral steps, unilateral actions by either side to the either party to the negotiation that has to take place to bring peace to the Middle East don't have Canada's support. We want to see both sides return to the negotiating table without preconditions and resolve together in bilateral discussion the remaining issues that would lead to a comprehensive peace agreement. But let's be clear, today's visit, this week's visit by the Prime Minister is underlining strong relations, long-standing, 65 years of strong relations that Canada has had with a very successful democracy, a very successful market economy that is a model in the Middle East. And we want to work with our Israeli partners to find solutions to the security issues that that represent threats to the region and indeed to the world.
But Mr. Alexander, our own Foreign Affairs Department, where you once worked as a senior diplomat, that website calls these settlements illegal. Why won't the Prime Minister say that?
Well, fundamental issues about which settlements would be inside and outside of an eventual Palestinian state, where the border would lie, how and when that border would be recognized by Israel's neighbors, which it has yet to be, Bob. After 65 years, Israel has neighbors that don't recognize the state's existence. These issues have to be settled by the parties. And it isn't for Canada or other countries to muse or impose their own views on these two parties that have to resolve these issues together.
I just don't understand why the Americans would say that expanding these settlements by building more apartments are illegitimate and hurts the peace process, but Canada won't take that position.
We've been very clear. Unilateral steps are not helpful. They're not going to get us the peace agreement that is required. But there are larger security issues, Bob, that need to be addressed and that we're very comfortable discussing with Israel because we think Israel is taking the kind of principled position that we are taking on the need to really ensure that Iran abandons its ambition to have nuclear weapons, on the need to protect Israel's security assets and its security generally, including those peace treaties with Jordan and with Egypt, and then the objective of a Palestinian state, a two-state solution, which has to be negotiated by Israel with the Palestinian Authority.
Mr. Alexander, finally I want to ask you about the settlement of Palestinian refugees who are in refugee camps. They are obviously not, if there's a peace agreement, they're not going to be able to go back to Palestinian lands. There's too many of them. Canada has always carried a role of wanting to be able to bring some of these refugees to Canada and other countries in the West. Is that still the role we want to play?
Well, we remain very active on the refugee front. We were rated in 2012 the most generous country in the world per capita in our support for refugees from all regions of the world, and that includes the Middle East. With regard to Palestinian refugees, you know, the objective we all share is for them to become citizens in a Palestinian state as part of a two-state solution, just as we hope one day the millions of refugees that have had to leave Syria and whom we are helping in Lebanon, in Turkey, in Jordan, are able one day to go back to a democratic Syria. But we're a long way from that goal. And the scale of those refugee issues is so great in the region that it can only be met in the region itself. We're talking about millions of people, even tens of millions of people affected by these conflicts, by the turbulence in the Middle East. And you've seen an unprecedented UN appeal for resources. Canada remains one of the top donors to those appeals.
So no role for Canada in resettling some of these refugees?
Well, Bob, we resettle thousands of people every year. You know, this is 11% of our very large immigration programs. And we will continue to do that around the world, and the Middle East will continue to be a focus. This is one of the main jobs that my colleagues have in our missions in the region, in Beirut, in Amman, in Cairo, working with UNHCR on refugee cases. But we are not going to resettle in Canada, and no country, not Europe, not the United States, not even the countries of the region, are going to resettle the millions of people who have left Syria, or the hundreds of thousands who want to live in a Palestinian state, because they want to go home eventually. And that is the objective that we will be working towards under the leadership of the UNHCR and with our friends, allies, and partners.
Thank you very much, Mr. Alexander. Appreciate you coming and talking to us.
Thanks, Bob.
For more on Harper's trip to Israel, I'm joined by Mohammed El Rashadi from the Canadian Arab Federation in Winnipeg. And here in studio with me, Michael Bell, who is a former ambassador to Israel, Palestine, and Jordan. I'd like to ask you, first of all, Mr. El Rashadi, the government is refusing to criticize, unlike the United States and other countries, the Israeli government's recent decision to expand settlements, building more apartments in the West Bank.
Yes, good morning. It's a very disappointing step by Harper. It's not surprising, given his previous comments and positions on Israel and the Middle East, but it is a very disappointing thing, particularly when a country like the United States, that has been an ardent supporter of the United States, itself admits that settlements are illegal and a step against the peace building that we should all aspire for. There's no question that Israel is an ally of Canada and will remain so. The real question is how Canada chooses to exercise that influence with Israel and its neighbors in the region.
I want to ask you, Mr. Bell, the Foreign Affairs Department's own website says that these settlements are illegitimate, but the government won't even, when we press them on this, saying, look, even the website says this, they just dodge and weave, and they don't even acknowledge the fact that they're at odds with their own longstanding Canadian foreign policy.
Well, there's definitely a discrepancy between the two. And I, for one, don't understand why. I would hate to see it happen, but I don't understand why it hasn't happened. That meaning the formal document that criticizes settlements, supports the Geneva Convention, continues to stand in view of the articulated views of the government, the Prime Minister, the Foreign Minister, and what have you.
Well, do you think that as a long-standing diplomat in that area that Canada has been too one-sided towards Mr. Netanyahu's view of the world? I mean, a lot of Israelis, Peace Now movement, a lot of Israelis don't agree with Mr. Netanyahu's view. Are we too one-sided? We're not looking enough at more balance towards the Palestinians?
Well, I think for a group of, for a government, we have definitely taken a very strong view, identifying with not just Israel, but more so even with the right-wing government, as you suggest, of Prime Minister Netanyahu. I understand the reasons for this in terms of the Prime Minister's own beliefs, in terms of theology, in terms of ideology and political advantage. But what concerns me is, for this visit, what is going to come out of it that's new and different, other than a mutually supportive and sympathetic voicing of views? And it seems to me there are a few things that could happen that would be of significance. Are we going to change the policy document as a result of this visit? Are the Israelis going to ask for that? Are we going to see a repeat of Mr. Baird's coffee in East Jerusalem? In other words, is the Prime Minister going to go over to East Jerusalem and sort of break down that barrier that most Western countries, all Western countries in fact, have maintained since 1967. Is that going to happen? And furthermore, looking at it a bit further into the future, are we going to see in the next year or two, or possibly if Mr. Harper gets a new mandate, the move of the Canadian embassy now situated in Tel Aviv to Jerusalem? And for those of your listeners that are old enough, they'll remember the move of Joe Clark, the promise to move the Canadian embassy to Jerusalem, the appointment of Robert Stanfield as a special representative to the Middle East, who recommended we stay out of this dispute between Arab and Israelis. This was a subject for negotiations, and we shouldn't try to preempt that by unilateral moves.
Right. Mr. El-Rashadi, let me ask you, do you think that the government, for example, says it's giving something like $670 million to the Palestinian Authority? Do you think that they are doing enough to help the Palestinian people and contributing enough to the peace negotiations that are going on?
No, look, Harper has made it very clear that he's going to follow whatever Netanyahu needs. And that's a disappointment, and really it does a disservice, number one, and most importantly, to Canada, but also to Israel itself, because Israel is a very diverse country. And I say that as a Canadian who's grown up in the greater Toronto area. I know what diversity is, and Israel is actually very diverse. And it's diverse not just in its people, but in its points of views. And so to stand by this very right-wing perspective that Netanyahu, because of his government, is leading, is going to be very dangerous. And I'm listening to the ambassadors proposing some real fundamental and ground-shaking changes that would really overturn Canadian foreign policy for decades. The Stanley Commission made it very clear that it is a very bad idea to move something like the embassy to Jerusalem. Recognizing land that is taken by force as part of Israel's territory and accepting that really opens the door to violence as the only means to achieve your goals in the Middle East. That's not a message Canada should ever support or stand with. What was illegal in the past should stay illegal today because it still is illegal, and that's what settlements are. Taking land from Palestinians and making them for Jewish-only homes is just wrong. It's wrong according to every reasonable country around the planet. And Canada should not exit that group of reasonable countries.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. We could go on for more, but unfortunately, I don't have the time.
Thank you, Bob.
Neil Young's take on the oil industry. What does he think about the criticism against him? And the natural resources minister counters Young's attack. Coming up next on Question Period. Welcome back.